Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight will be study number 96. I'm going to begin reading by turning to 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 5. Wherefore ye shall make images of your emerods and images of your mice that mar the land, and shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off you, and from off your gods, and from off your land. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts, when he had wrought wonderfully among them? Did they not let the people go, and they departed? Now therefore make a new cart, and take two milch kine on which there has come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, and bring their calves home from them, and take the ark of Jehovah, and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold which ye return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. And see, if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us, it was a chance that happened to us. And the men did so, and took two milch kine, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of Jehovah upon the cart and the coffer with the mice of gold and the images of their emerods. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh, and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. And I'll stop reading there. Now in our last few studies, we've been looking at this chapter, and we saw that there were three significant points that are found early in this chapter that teach us that with this historical and just incredibly unusual occurrence of the Ark of God being taken captive by the Philistines, that when God brings destruction and disease upon his captors, and he strikes them with emerods and disease so that they're dying in all the cities that the Ark of Jehovah is taken to, that spiritually this is teaching us at the end. Well, first of all, it teaches us that during the Great Tribulation, God is judging the churches and congregations. But at the end of that period of time, the end of the Great Tribulation, when the duration of the Great Tribulation has come to a close, and it was 23 years from May 21, 1988 through May 21, 2011, that finally at the end, God is victorious. That Satan does not win, but the Lord Jesus Christ wins. And we know that because of these three statements that we find here. First, the Ark of God was not to be sent away empty. And that relates to what the Israelites were told when they came out of Egypt. You will not go away empty. But they spoiled the Egyptians and were given gifts of gold and silver from the Egyptian people. And here the Ark, the priests and diviners are saying, must not leave empty, but give a trespass offering of golden emerods and mice. And this trespass offering also is significant because it teaches us that the Philistines are recognizing their guilt. They have come to the point of acknowledging their wrong in taking the Ark of God. And finally, the third thing is that they are told that in doing this, in offering the trespass offering and returning the ark, that they will give glory unto the God of Israel. And that's a key statement, as Achan was told by Joshua to confess his sin and give glory to the God of Israel. And then Achan was stoned to death. And so the Philistines, in their judgment, are also acknowledging their guilt, confessing their sin, and giving glory to God as a result. And this is all tied in to the end of the 7 months the ark spent in the land of the Philistines. And that 7 months identifies with the total time, the total duration of the Great Tribulation period, the full 23 years. So when the ark comes out of the land of the Philistines, it is pointing to the end of the Great Tribulation. And it is a victorious time. That's why we spent the last couple of studies looking at passages that tie into that day of May 21 and the end of the full 23 years, exact 8,400 days of the Great Tribulation. And we saw how there is a consistency in these places that God teaches about this, in that Satan is defeated and his kingdom is taken and the Lord Jesus Christ is victorious. That is the consistent theme as we read of the end of the 70-year period, that historic, which was a historical parable pointing to the Great Tribulation, or as we saw in the book of Esther, and on that date of 217, which is the underlying Hebrew calendar date for May 21, that Haman was killed and his house was given to Mordecai, and so on. So we find the same elements here. It's not a complete of a picture as we have in other historical parable passages that we find in the Bible, but it has these elements of defeat for the enemy of God and victory for God himself, which is the ark represents the very presence of God. Well, we read that the cart is to be a new cart. The priests and the diviners are giving this instruction, and 2 milch kine are to be taken upon which no yoke has come, and they're to be tied to the cart, and their calves are taken from them and put up at home. Now, let's just look at some of the words here so we understand a little bit better what God is saying. Milch kine, the word milch, is a word that's found 5 times in the Old Testament. Twice, or the Hebrew word translated milch, is twice found here in this chapter as milch, and 3 other times it's translated as with young. We'll just turn to one place where that's the case, in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. It says there, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." The English words "with young" are a translation of that same Hebrew word translated as milch kine. And the word kine is also translated in English as heifer or as cow. It's translated as cow in Isaiah 11, verse 7. And so these are 2 cows with young. To, you know, say it more plainly so we understand exactly what's being discussed. And that's why their calves are taken from them. That's the young. And they're shut up at home, it says in verse 10. "And the men did so and took 2 milch kine," or 2 cows with young, "and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home." And this was done in order to prove that one way or another, whether what had happened to the Philistines was actually the hand of God and an angry God, or if it were some chance. The Philistines actually say this in verse 9. They wanted to devise a way of once and for all figuring out if the things that had taken place over these months, the great tragedy beginning with Dagon falling down a couple of times in the temple of Dagon before the Ark of Jehovah, and then the disease, the emerods, and the death that plagued city after city where the Ark was carried, if these things really were the hand of the God of Israel, or was it just coincidental? Was it random? And we've had disease before, and maybe it just happened to coincide with the arrival of the ark. Of course, that's far-fetched. They knew that it was the ark of God. Certainly the inhabitants of Ekron knew when they saw the ark carried into their city. They cried out that they've brought the ark of the God of Israel here to slay us and our people. The regular people understood, but the Philistines are doing something typical of mankind, which is that man does not believe God. Mankind has the Bible, for instance, and the Bible very plainly and directly lays out the person of God and the history of biblical events and God's salvation plan and the judgment of God upon sin and so many things. And what is the natural reaction of man? He does not believe. Even when the Lord Jesus walked amongst them and performed miracle after miracle of such magnitude, of such tremendous glory, that men had never seen anything near the like, and yet they did not believe. They refused to believe that Christ was eternal God, that he was who he said he was. And it is the nature of fallen man to disbelieve. And so the Philistines are testing, they're proving God, and normally that's not a good thing to do. It's not a good thing to do at all. God demands belief. We're commanded to believe, and he wants us to trust him. Yet in this particular case, the way that it happened to work out, the test that the Philistines were devising was to have the ark placed on a new cart and these two cows tied to the cart. Their calves were shut up at home, and then they were left. It was left to the hand of God from the Philistines' perspective, and actually this was true, to see if God would take the ark to the land of Israel. Or there were many things that could have happened. The cows could have not moved at all. They had never had a yoke upon them before. Or they could have sought to go home to their calves and not gone the way of Beth Shemesh in the land of Israel. They could have turned around to the land of the Philistines. And yet it was all left up to the will of God. And so in that sense, these priests and diviners of the Philistines, they had some counsel that was appropriate for this particular situation. And God, of course, he did that with Balaam. Balaam, a false prophet, yet God put true words in his mouth of blessing Israel. And it is something that God worked out according to his will. And why was it such a good move by the Philistines? Because God is very particular about how the Ark of the Covenant was to be transported. We find this is so in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And the circumstance of 2 Samuel 6 is the Ark of God is in the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And we'll actually read about this a little further in the chapter we're in 1 Samuel 6 and into 1 Samuel 7. We'll read how the Ark of God manages to arrive at Abinadab's house. And yet what we're reading in 2 Samuel 6 is taking place in all probability around the year 1000 or 999 BC. But what's happening in 1 Samuel 6, where we're presently at, is occurring in 1067 B.C. So it's some 67 or 68 years later in 2 Samuel 6, and the ark still has not really found a home since it was taken out of Shiloh. But let me read here a few of the verses. Beginning in 2 Samuel 6, verse 2, it says, "And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah, to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of Jehovah of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah." And now that is a statement that matches what the Philistines did. They had a new cart made for the ark to be placed on. And so this is what David had done. They put the ark on a new cart. And then it goes on to say, "And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart." Now that's different. No Philistine man was in the driver's seat. No one was leading the milch kine, taking the reins and directing where the cart carrying the ark of God should go. It was left up to the movement of the two cows. But here, two men are driving. They're driving the new cart in order to bring it to Jerusalem, as David has now been made king after 7.5 years of reigning in Hebron. All Israel has finally made him king, and that's how we know the time of this, since he began to reign in 1007 B.C., 7.5 years later would probably be 999 B.C., and David wants the Ark of God brought to Jerusalem. And so it goes on to say in verse 4, "And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the Ark of God. And Ahio went before the Ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before Jehovah on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God." Now here, it's a tragedy. David was displeased and afraid, and as a result of this death of Uzzah, that David did not bring the ark of God up to Jerusalem at this time, but it turned aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, and there it stayed for 3 months. Until David heard a report that the Lord was blessing the house of Obed-Edom. And then David went back and carefully, very carefully now, at that time, they transported the Ark of God to Jerusalem. And they did it after the commandment of God, because when we read the Bible, we find that God gives specific instructions. Well, we're going to stop here. Lord willing, we'll continue with our study in 1 Samuel tomorrow evening.